Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm number 78. I'm going to read the last three verses of Psalm 78, verses 70, 71, and 72 this morning. Psalm 78, verse number 70. He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands.
First message of the year 2019. There's a lot in front of us. If the Lord tarries and we're able to live out the whole year before Jesus comes, there's a lot in front of us. And if we would just be steadfast in spirit and right in heart, we're going to read that this morning. If we'll just do those two things, God is going to do more in your family than he has ever done. This isn't a pep talk, but I want to encourage you on the Word of God and the truths of God's Word. Here's the deal. We're on a journey. We are on a pilgrimage. We're walking through this life, the path of life, and we have a roadmap. We have instructions that have been given to us. We've got a heavenly GPS, and if we would just follow the tenets, the precepts, the commands of the Word of God, the admonishments, if we would heed them, God will direct us through the year 2019. And we'll see many victories. And I'm telling you, you'll see people saved that you never thought would ever come to Christ. People that perhaps right now in your family have no interest in God, no interest in the things of God. But if you will honor Him in your life, God will hear your prayers. This will be a wonderful year. It'll be a wonderful year for your family. It can be a wonderful year for your business. It can be a wonderful year, of course, for this New Testament local church. If we would just put Jesus first. Psalm 78, that's really what it's all about here. And by the way, on this pilgrimage, on this journey, enjoy the trip. Fundamental Baptist Church is an exciting ministry. You understand, there were during the Christmas holiday season, there were 15 professions of faith through the ministries of this church. We're going to be baptizing tonight. You understand, God, you're in the midst of God's blessing. Here in this church, people walk the aisles every service. Here in this church, you know, a lot of churches don't get that. We know the blessings of God. Don't miss church. If you weren't here last Sunday night, you missed out on celebrating the Lord's table. That was a week ago, Christmas Eve service. If you weren't here, New Year's Eve service, which was Sunday night. That was Sunday night. That's why I was saying Sunday night. A lady cut her hair on fire during the candlelight vigil where we were singing the Christmas. I mean, this is an exciting church. Things are happening all the time. She was sitting right over here. She got on fire for God. She said, I was praying through that. She said, I could see a bright light. And what's going on? And I opened my eyes. And my hair was on fire. You know, pretty exciting stuff. If you weren't here, you missed it. You know, get out, be faithful to God. Be faithful to every service. Let God do in your life what he desires to do. Now, Psalm 78, there's a lot of verses here in Psalm 78, and I'm going to try to read almost, I won't read them all. I won't have time to read them all, but I'll get to the verse I want to get to. And this is a sermon entitled, you could entitle it a lot of things, The Big Picture. Winning Our Jerusalem. Souls for Jesus. Populating Heaven. That's what it's about. Rescuing the perishing. A ministry without evangelism. Let me put it in my terminology. A ministry that does not include evangelism. Think about every ministry we have. I don't care if it's the nursery. I don't care if it's a camp. It doesn't matter if it's sports. Whatever the ministry. The ladies group. Any ministry without evangelism ain't worth spit. Jesus came to this earth to die on an old rugged cross. It wasn't about entertaining the saints. It wasn't about me having pleasure. He came to die for the lost. The church has a mandate. It is called the Great Commission. We're to preach the gospel to every creature. Then afterwards, you baptize converts and you disciple them. But evangelism is the bottom line. The big picture, everything we do at Fundamental Baptist Church, evangelism is a part of it. And if it isn't part of it, man, let's eliminate it. Let's get it out of here. Let's honor God the right way. Psalm 78, verse 1. Asaph here is writing. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law." Our only hope, the hope of this world, the only hope of this world is Jesus being manifested through the church by the preaching of the holy word of God. The ministries of the church reaching out into the world from our Jerusalem, reaching out into the world, even to the four corners of the world, and proclaiming Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's what it's about. And here the psalmist says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, to the word. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth," the word of God. "I will open my mouth in a parable." And what he's going to do here is he's going to give Israel's beginnings, Israel's story. And what you and I need to recognize here this morning is Psalm 78, Israel's story is our story. We need to apply it. Rightly divide the scriptures and apply it to our lives. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us." You ever long for the good old days? Those good old days weren't really all that good. You know, we tend to forget the struggles and the difficulties and kind of remember just the good things, but you know, and the good old days, you get around old people, man, they talk about the good old days all the time. That's how you know you're getting old. Does that identify anybody in here? You always talk about the way it used to be. High school football today, it's soft. Man, it's not like it used to be. It used to be, man, you were out there, you were a man, you know? It's the truth is, though, some of the good old days weren't all that good. But on the other hand, God meeting with his people in the good old days, man, that's where we want to be. It says here in verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." The truth is, God has been good to us here at Fundamental Baptist Church. God has been good to us in many, many ways. And if we're not careful, we're going to fall into a routine that Old Testament Israel fell into. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of people that I minister to. This story has been told 1,000 times over, even in this ministry. And we need to guard against this and what we're looking at as far as the history of the church. Oh, I wanted to start this message out by saying this. Here are three absolute truths of the 21st century. Number one, Jesus is God. This is foundational. Jesus is God. According to Philippians in chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11, "One day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Number two, God wants, get this, everybody saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These are absolutes that are never going to change. Jesus is God. God wants everybody saved. And number three, God has ordained and mandated his church to reach the world for Christ. So as we read through Psalm 78, you think of vision. Think of what God would have you to do. Think of people that you can reach. Think of people you can bring into the fold. People that you can introduce to Jesus Christ, your Savior. And their lives can be rescued. And their lives can be changed. And they can be made whole. And they can be born anew from above. And have a relationship with Jesus Christ that you now have. And God wants it for your children, your grandchildren, your co-workers, the people you hang out with, your relatives, your in-laws, your outlaws. He wants them all saved. God wants everybody saved. Jesus is God. God wants everybody saved. And God has ordained the church to reach the world for Christ. Every ministry bent towards evangelism. No exceptions. Or it's not a ministry. It's a bubble. It's self-contained. Man, we want to win people to Christ. If we ever get to the place where it's an entertainment thing, Ichabod. God will write Ichabod over it. He'll take his hand of blessing off of it. You guys that are playing ball, you need to be witnessing to the people you're playing ball to. You need to testify to the other teams. You're out in the community, you got a job, you need to be witnessing to your coworkers and telling them of Christ. Man, you're down in the nursery, you got families that you're watching their children during the church service. Introduce yourself to mom and dad afterwards. Man, you know, kind of build a bridge there. It is all about evangelism. It's all about Jesus is what it is. Let's read on here. Man, I've taken too much time in four verses. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. We have a mandate and we're supposed to pass it on. That the generation to come might know them, that even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. We're to be preparing the next generation so that they'll have an anchor, so they can set their hope in God. They're not going to get that from social media. So we can prepare them so they can set their hope in God and keep his commandments. If we don't live it and we don't tell it and we don't verbalize it and we don't speak it, man, they're never going to know. And therein, that's where the church fails many times. Let me read a few more verses here. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Here we go. Here it is, the history of Israel. A generation that set not their heart aright, circle the word heart, and whose spirit, circle the word spirit, was not steadfast with God. A generation in which, make it part of the New Testament now, I mean, fast forward to the 21st century, a generation where Jesus Christ isn't first in their life. And their spirit is not steadfast. Their heart is not fixed, and their spirit is not steadfast. Their heart right with God, sincerely love Jesus Christ. Sincerely, he's first place in my life. It isn't just verbiage. It isn't just lip service like Jesus warned of in the Gospel of Luke. He said, you love Jesus with your heart, like David, a man after God's own heart. Once that's taken care of, then you're steadfast in spirit. You're going to stand. You'll stand the tough times and the good times. You say, Pastor, I'm willing to stand the tough times, but I didn't know the tough times were going to be like they are. Tough times are tough. That's what they are. Difficulties will come. Hurdles you'll have to get over. Mountains you're going to have to climb. Valleys you're going to have to pass through. And it's difficult for you, maybe more difficult for you than for your neighbor. That's your tough times. But you're steadfast in spirit. You don't quit. You don't throw the towel in on God. You don't say, thank you very much for salvation, but I'm not going to live for you. Man, that's a little bit too tough. I'm willing to live. I'm willing to die for Jesus, but I'm not willing to live for him. That's a lie. You'd no more die for him than you will. It's tougher to live for him than to die. You know what? Live for Jesus. Right now. That's where it counts. So your heart is right. Your spirit is steadfast. They struggled with that. We struggle with that. Verse 9 says, the children of Ephraim, an illustration here, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. And they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Ephraim was one of the leading tribes in the day. This is before traveling over and passing over to travel into Canaan to conquer the promised land. And Ephraim, a tribe that was well armed, ready for battle, they turned tail and ran. The church is well armed. We are enabled and empowered by God the Holy Spirit. We have the eternal Word of God. We've got Holy Writ, Genesis to Revelation. We've got the complete Word of God. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. We are well armed. Don't turn from battle. You've got God the Holy Spirit living within your being. Don't be like Ephraim and be disobedient to the promises, to the covenant. Verse 11, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. A short memory. God bailed them out back here. Already they've forgotten about it. In your life and my life, God was faithful to me back there, bailed me out. He's going to help me here in this battle as well. That's the God we serve. Let's read on. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, and that is in Goshen. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as in a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He gave salvation. He gave direction, just like he does today. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers, like torrents. For 40 years, they were supplied with that living water. For 40 years, they had water everywhere they went in the wilderness. God was directing them. God was leading them. They were right smack dab in the blessing of God. Let's read on. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They responded to God's blessing with rebellion. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? The answer to that is yes. Say, I'm in the wilderness, Pastor. God can furnish a table there. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? The answer is yes. Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. And so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. There's chastisement because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food, that's manna, and set them meat to the full. God exceeded the menu of kings and gave to them angels' food. And while it was still in their teeth, they were murmuring against God. Man is a despicable creature. As a matter of fact, we're stupid. I've seen this. Here's the cycle. It was a cycle with Old Testament Israel. It's going on today in the 21st century. It goes from blessing to rebellion to chastisement to repentance. Back to blessing to rebellion to chastisement to repentance. Are we stupid? And what is the deal where God starts to bless us and we start to do our own thing? It's a sad, sad truth. Let's read on here. Verse 21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, and so a fire was kindled. Verse 22. Because they believed not God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused the east wind to blow in heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And you're familiar with all of this. And the quails flew in and meat was put right in their front yard. And he let it all fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lusts, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, like spoiled children, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. I just got a couple more verses. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. That was repentance. The cycle is being lived out. And they remembered that God was their rock, their Ebenezer, their rock of protection, and the high God, their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him. Verse 37, verse 8. Their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Their heart was not right. They were not steadfast in spirit. Verse 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Oh, the grace of God. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away. It did not stir up all his wrath. Oh, I'm grateful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God in my life. That could be my life verse many a time. Verse 39 says, "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." The big truth for today, why isn't God doing more in my life? Because I limit him. The omnipotent, all-powerful God, I bind him. You say, "Well, what do you mean by that, preacher?" God can't and God won't bless sin. So although God, it's God's will that everybody be saved, it's God's will that everybody know his blessings, we limit the Holy One of Israel because of our lifestyle, because of our wicked heart, not right in heart, not steadfast in spirit. The history of Israel, the story of Israel, it's a parable. The story of Israel is the story of today. It's the story of the church. We're blessed of God. We're blessed of God. We know God's full blessing. Then we rebel against God. Like spoiled children, we rebel against God. We get too big for our own britches. We think we've lifted ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We think we don't need God anymore because now I got a good job and now I can do this and now I can wear that. And so we rebel against God. Then God has to chastise us. And with that chastisement, we repent of our sin because we remember the days of old and the goodness of God and the Holy Spirit indwells our hearts. So we repent of our sin and we get right back. And then God blesses us again. The year 2019. How about we not limit the Holy One of Israel? How about we see what can happen if we totally surrender to God? What God will accomplish. I have so much vision and so many dreams. And some of them have never come to pass. Enough of them have come to pass that I know that God's on the throne. And I know there's more to be done. Look at verse 70. Let's go all the way ahead to verse 70. He rehearses the 10 plagues in Egypt and how the people had to get back on praying ground and ask God to do it again and their lack of faith, and yet God was good to them all the way. And here's just some words of encouragement here in verses 70, 71, and 72. And again, the big issue is found back here in verse 41. The disconnect, perhaps between your life and God, is you limit him because he's not going to bless sin. He is never going to bless sin. And if you limit him, he can't. "I want to bless you. This is God. I want to bless you, but I can't. I'm not going to condone that. That's not right." So how about we not limit him? How about we not constrain him? How about we not grieve the Holy Spirit of God like it tells us in Ephesians in chapter 4? And how about we honor him? It says here in verse 70, "He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds." There's a picture of grace. He chose a simple shepherd. "From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart." There's that heart thing again. "And guided them with the skillfulness of his hands." That can be us. Church of 1,000 in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, you bet. Church of 1,000 thriving and growing to the glory of God, you bet. Man, don't lose sight. Don't take your eyes off Christ. Don't get cynical because some people fall by the wayside. That's happened in every generation. That'll always happen. The sirens of the world, the calls from the world are going to call people from time to time. People are going to fall away, but you go on, you keep growing, you keep serving God, you keep winning more and more to Christ, and people hang on, and some of those other people end up coming back. I know how that works. I know how that works already. Honor God. Here's some vision for the year ahead. The future, you need to know this, is as big as the promises of God. Here's something to do for personal growth. Number one. Month of January, Let's all read together. Oh, it'd be so easy to do this. One chapter a day, the book of Joshua. Read the book of Joshua as a church. You do your other Bible reading. There's all kinds of Bible plans. You can do three chapters a day and five on Sunday. You can do four chapters a day and a half a chapter more, four and a half on Sunday. You can do different ways like that, and you get through your Bible in a year. Whatever program you're using, that's fine. Maybe you might be listening to it on your phone. That's fine. Listen to it, whatever program you're using. But let's read through the book of Joshua together as a church family this month. Right now, starting today, all right, this month. You just go ahead and start in Joshua chapter 1. You'll have some chapters to spare. You'll have some days to spare at the end. And let's read together. It's personal growth. Let's pray for one another all year long. Say, preacher, how can I do that? We've got a thing called a church directory. You can use it. You get a hard copy of it. You can get it from the office. You can get the app and put it on your phone. Have somebody do it for you if you're over 40, you know, and some kid do it for you. They'll put it on your phone. You get your app, and you pray through the church membership. You ask God to bless them individually. Name by name, you'll be amazed how you will grow in grace. You will be amazed how your faith will be built. If you're reading your Bible and you're praying, let's pray for one another. Testify daily of the goodness of God in your life. You may not always be able to give out the Romans Road, but you can testify. You know, God is good to me. God took care of me yesterday. You know, my God, I love my God. You'll just find a way to bring Christ into your verbiage, into your daily living. And here's a challenge. Through the winter months and into the spring months, I'm just going to do half a year kind of thing. Bring one family to church and establish them in the things of God. That's not too much to ask. And just you find somebody that's wanting to be led, wanting to be taught, man, just pour yourself into them. I do promise you this, if you're willing to do that and you're serious about that and you'll ask God, he'll give you somebody. And you'll be able to grow them in grace. I don't have time to preach the rest of it. It's every Sunday morning. It just seems like this. We got a big year in front of us. Got a sportsman's banquet coming up. We had over 50 saved at that sportsman's banquet last year. There were between 500 and 600 people here last year for that. We got that coming up. We've got Friend Day coming up. We've got camps. We've got our school. We've got BPM. We've got old school. We've got holiday programs again. There's all kinds of things just kind of fit in there. I'm trying to, I can't share everything. I can't share what, like some of the guys I want to have come and preach because they haven't told me yet. There's one guy in particular. I'm trying to get him to come here for a short week of prophecy preaching. You know him by name. You've heard him on the radio. We'll just see if it works out. Yeah, we're working it. I'm asking God to do great things as far as the outreach of this church, reaching out and doing more for God. We've got to be involved. See, how can we grow anymore? We don't have any room. We got room. We can squeeze them in. I know church growth experts say you can never hang on to more than 80% of your seating capacity. I was taught that. I know that's what they say. You just can't. You can only crowd people in so long. I understand it. Well, there's some empty seats right up here with Ethan. There's a couple. There's an empty seat right there. There's empty chairs over here behind the piano, over here behind the organ. We could put a row of chairs down the aisle on either side. You know, we could pack some more in here. We can find a way. We just need the power of God. Let's not limit God. Okay, bring it right down to where you're living. Don't limit God. Precious, precious, forever souls are in the balance.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.